Welcome to the Love Your Story podcast. I'm your host, Lori Lee. Have you ever met someone that brimmed with confidence? I can tell you that there is an energy behind confidence. There is a way that you hold yourself, a mindset of expectation that doors will open for you, a presence that actually opens those doors. There are so many powerful concepts that we talk about here on the show. Gratitude, love, allowing, accountability. But today we're talking about confidence, which is really exciting because it hasn't been something we've talked about a lot. And we don't want to shortchange this incredible mindset. So today I have a guest here, Christina LeCure, on the show. And she has been voted one of the top confidence coaches. She is a former professional golfer and a TV host that now works with an extensive list of clientele from around the world. How lucky are we? Today we get some coaching from her. So stay tuned for that bit of coaching, a discussion about what does confidence look like? How do we get it if we don't have it? Where do we start? How do we use it? So we've got some good topics that we're going to discuss.
Stories are our lives in language. Welcome to the Love Your Story podcast. I'm Lori Lee, and I'm excited for our future together of telling stories, evaluating our own stories, and lifting ourselves and others to greater places because of our control over our stories. This podcast is about empowerment and giving you, the listener, ideas to work with in making your stories work for you. Story power serves you best when you know how to use it.
Confidence is defined as a feeling of self-assurance arising from one's appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. I looked that up. That's the definition. Our guest today, Christina, she battled low self-confidence, an eating disorder, and tying her worth to external validation, which is so natural. We can all relate with that. Christina was able to turn her life around to create her dream life and a multi-six-figure business. And she uses the same tools that she used for herself to help hundreds of clients to create their own profit and success. So through her signature decision, faith, and action framework, clients have not only brought their dream life into reality, but have also gone on to create big money, big money. I guess we can tie confidence in ourselves to success in business, but I think it perpetuates success in all areas of our life. And that's really what I want to talk about today. So let's see what Christina has to say. Christina, welcome to the Love Your Story podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Can we please start with your story? Who were you when you were battling this low self-esteem, and what caused the eating disorder? And how did you evolve or transition out of that? How did you get the confidence?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would start with when I was 18 years old, two things happened to me. And it's kind of funny, I tell this story. Two things happened to me that most people would think were a blessing. Number one, I got really good at golf at 18 years old. And the second thing that happened was I definitely came into my looks. And a lot of people laugh and say, well, gosh, how is that a bad thing? And the answer is, in that moment, I just got what I called a lot of atta girls, like, you're so pretty. Your life is so amazing. My gosh, like, look at you. Everything's wonderful. And unfortunately, at 18 years old, I didn't know better, but I became addicted to that external validation. I just wanted to get more and more of that. Whatever that drug was, I wanted it. And so in my brain, that meant getting better at golf. That meant getting skinnier, more attractive, more money, more jobs. And for the next, I'd say about 10 years, I went on this trip of just trying to get more of that external validation. And unfortunately, that led me down a very wrong path in the fact that I did have an eating disorder. Like I said, I was very unhappy. I had checked all the boxes on the outside. I was playing professional golf. I was an All-American in college. I had a modeling contract, doing television, and I was just miserable. So at 27 years old, I decided that there was other people who had a lot less in life than I did. And they were, some of them were much happier. And so I set out on a journey to figure out, how in the world does that happen? You know, because I thought I checked all those boxes and I was not happy. So At about 27 years old, I decided to take personal responsibility for my life. I really dove into mindset work, and I dove into just kind of figuring out what is it that actually makes someone happy. And along that journey, you know, I'm now almost 42 years old. I'll be 42 this year. And I always say now that I have the greatest life ever because I decided. So my brand is Decide It's Your Turn. My podcast is Decide It's Your Turn. And everything is truly about a decision. And like I said, I do feel like however many years later, 13, 14 years later, I have the greatest life ever because I decided it.
Hey, well, that brings me to, we left out that part about how did you transition? When you say you decided, does that just mean, like, what was the process of going from needing that external validation so badly from the world around you to getting healthy, to being able to move out of an eating disorder? Like, what was it you decided? Just, I'm going to not need external validation? What was that trip like?
No, I love that question. I actually always ask because I do think, you know, a lot of people are just like, well, I turned the business around. Well, how did you do it? How did you actually turn your life around? And for me, like I said, in that moment, I was like 27 years old. And, you know, this is very graphic, but I remember being over the toilet for however many 50 times a day I was throwing up. And I was so unhappy and I almost wanted to end my life. I just didn't understand how I could have all of the external stuff and be so hollow inside. And for me, I remember one of my mentors in golf. He was actually my golf instructor at the time. And I didn't grow up in my faith. I'm now a Christian. And I always say to people, you know, God, source, universe, whatever you want to believe. But for me, it's God. And I knew that he was happy. And I knew that he had such a sense of faith in his life. And I'll be honest, I literally remember screaming that day. I'm like, I am trying to do this myself, trying to do life myself, and I'm trying so hard and it's not working. And I said, if something is out there, please help me. And I think that that moment where I really just tried to give up control to something outside of myself, you know, I have a family member who's an addict, and I remember going to an Al-Anon meeting and they talk about you don't have control over the disease, right? You're powerless over the disease. And, you know, an eating disorder is like an addiction in a lot of regards. And I was powerless over it and I gave up control. And then I also started to realize that the more I gave up control, but the more I took personal responsibility for my life, I am actually in control of what I think and like what I say and who's around me and what I'm doing. And I didn't have a bad growing up by any means. I mean, we're all wounded in some regards. I always say that, you know, we are no longer our parents' stories, habits, and patterns. But I really, what I do now, even with clients, and I talk about it, is like, I really just started reprogramming my stories, patterns, and habits. And it's funny, I have a lot of clients who are in business and it's very much the same principles. It's like, if you're doing one thing and you've done it for 27 years of your life, how do you actually get a different result? And that comes from reprogramming stories, patterns, and habits, because you got to change to change. And I started realizing this. I started realizing that no one was coming to save me and it was no one's fault. And I started hiring coaches. I started going to seminars. I was literally the crazy chick on the Stairmaster reading a book, listening. Well, podcasts weren't even really a thing back then, but I was like watching a YouTube, reading a book, taking notes, and like on the Stairmaster all at one period of time. Like, I just became obsessed with realizing that, oh my God, I have control over my life. I can decide it is my turn. I can decide to have the greatest life ever. And the more that you do that, you know, I always talk about confidence being like a muscle. The more that you use it, the stronger it becomes. And I really, honestly, for probably 15 years, and I still do it to today, I mean, I say sometimes I joke, I've created my life on a sticky note, but I literally have created my life and, you know, millions of dollars in revenue on a sticky note by literally reprogramming this over and over and over and focusing in on what I want and instead of what I don't.
And how did you decide what you wanted when, like, you had all the external things, checkbox, checkbox, checkbox? How did you go from, okay, I have everything and it's not making me happy, to figuring out what you really needed?
Because I think, honestly, true happiness is you deciding really that, you know, it's your turn. Like, true happiness comes from you taking action to do something that you ultimately want to do. I felt so much better about myself when I actually took action to do something for myself. You know, a lot of the things that I was doing when I was playing professional golf, it was for other people. Like, I love golf now because I have fun with my buddies and I'm outside or whatever, but like, I did not want to play professional golf at all. Like, I just didn't, but I was told that that's what I was supposed to do because I was going to make money and I was going to be famous and all of the things. But like, once I figured out, like, what do I actually want to do? I started really actually liking myself and having confidence in myself because I was actually doing something for myself.
Isn't that an interesting place to get to? I mean, I love that we're talking about this because it's come up before in other conversations with people, that place of just tuning into what makes me happy. And it doesn't have to look like what makes everybody else happy, but what makes me happy. And then I get to develop that in all its beauty and originality.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, we live in a world where everyone, especially now with social media and whatever, it's like you think what someone else wants, you know, is going to make you happy. You know, a lot of people follow me online and I do have an amazing life. But I also think, too, that sometimes people, if they look at me and they're judging their life based upon my life, they probably actually aren't. They probably don't want my life. You know, I'm 40 something years old. I've chosen not to have children. I choose to do one-on-one coaching, which a lot of people actually do not like. I travel all the time. I'm never home. So there's a lot of people who would be like, oh my God, your life's amazing. But I'm like, wait a minute. Do you want kids? Do you want to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week like I do? Do you want to like always be traveling? And I think it's very important for people to like really get clear on what they want and like listen to what they truly want. I've always been very confident. I haven't always been confident in everything about myself, but since I was a little kid, I've always been very confident that, like, number one, I was going to be successful no matter what. And number two, I've never wanted children. I've always wanted to live outside the box. I've always wanted to do something. If someone says, you know, they're going to do it, chances are I want to do the exact opposite. That's always been who I am. And I think it's really helpful to know who you are and what you actually do want and quit thinking that you want what someone else has, because chances are that's not even really what you want.
Amen, sister. I am. Congratulations to you on having the, you know, being centered enough and confident enough to be able to say, I'm going to figure me out and then I'm going to do me. That's
amen.
Such a healthy space. So let's talk about confidence then. Why is confidence important in your experience since you do so much coaching with it?
I think confidence is one of the most attractive things in the world. There is nothing more attractive than a person who is very confident in who they are and what they believe. A long time ago, I was at a conference and I heard Tommy Lahren, she's a Fox News correspondent. She said, know what you believe and why you believe it. And there's so much power in that one sentence. Know what you believe and why you believe it. And I think a very confident person knows what they believe and why they believe it. You know, I have clients who are left and right. I have clients who are, you know, male and female. I have clients that are very wealthy and not so wealthy. And I have the ability to just really love a person for who they are. But I also think there's something when you have the ability to really strongly believe in what you believe. And that's a very confident human being. And I also think, like I said before, confidence is a muscle. The more that you use it, the stronger it becomes. Confidence comes from a person like literally knowing that if I say I'm going to do something, come hell or high water, I'm actually going to do that thing. You know, oftentimes I use the example of like people say, women in particular, you know, they get home after a stressful day. They say that they're not going to drink wine, but their kids are crazy. They're stressed out. Their husband's pissing them off. Come 9 o'clock, they're having that glass of wine. Every time you tell yourself that you're not going to do something and then you do it, you're actually hurting your confidence every single time. It would actually be easier for you and help you a lot more if you never even promised yourself that you weren't going to drink the wine. Because if you know you're going to drink the wine, every time you say you're not going to drink the wine, you're hurting your confidence.
Just claim it.
Yeah, just like pick something else.
Okay, so with confidence then, how does someone who doesn't feel confident, like what are some steps, some coaching that, you know, how do we build that into our lives? And I think you just shared one tip right there, which is you got to trust yourself, right? Like you need to be real with yourself. You need to start in that place where you can trust what you say and what you intend to do. Take off from there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the first thing. The second thing I would say is you may not be confident in a certain area in your life, but you can borrow confidence from another area in your life. Let's say we'll go back to kind of like the wine thing or whatever. Let's use weight loss. That's a big thing for a lot of people. They say they're going to work out and they're not going to do it. You may not be confident in your exercising and your nutrition, but chances are you're confident in another area of your life. Perhaps you're confident as a parent. Perhaps you're confident in work. Perhaps you're confident in your, jujitsu skill. Borrow the confidence from that other skill and put it into the thing that you're not so confident in. And what I mean by that is chances are I don't even know where I came up with jujitsu. I don't even know how to say the word. But anyway, let's say that that's your thing. Chances are you're confident in that thing because you commit time to it. You keep your promises with it. You say you're going to do something, you actually do it. You commit to making that a priority in your life. Well, use that to know that it's the exact same thing. Like I have a client right now, one of my guy clients, and he's a health instructor. And it's so interesting because in business, it's the exact same thing. You know, up until about $2 to $3 million in business, business is business, folks. And like growing and scaling is exactly the same, whether I'm helping a person in the nutrition space, in the clothing space, as a farmer, as a, you know, an insurance provider, it doesn't matter. It's all the same small habits, the same strategy to get you to that level. And it's the same thing when you're borrowing and building confidence from one area of your life to the other. It's not that different. So figure out where you excel and see what is the incongruency between where you're struggling with your confidence versus where you are confident.
So I think a lot of the anxiety in today's world comes from the fear of judgment or fear of not being thought enough, fear of those interactions with peers and people around you. How does someone shift from this anxious space of being nervous about what people think about them to being comfortable in their own skin?
Oh, such a great question. It's so funny. I've actually got on my desk. I know this is not a video podcast, is it?
Correct.
It's not a video podcast, but on my desk, if you could see it, I have paperwork for a speech that I'm about to give next week to a group of like 300 businessmen. And the very first thing I talk about is the fear of failure. You know, that is something that's a common denominator, whether you're, you know, young, old, male, female, beginning, middle stages, all of the things.
Sure.
At the end of the day, fear of failure is something that a lot of people deal with. But one thing that I always tell people is, well, two things. Number one, you are not that important. And I know that that's hard pill to swallow, but you're literally not that important. On my podcast a few weeks ago, I had a gentleman on, his name was T.P. Chopra, and he was the president and CEO of GE. That's right, General Electric in India. Huge, like he was, you know, flying around corporate jets. And he said something to me that I thought was like really good. And he said, at the end of the day, Jack Welch, who used to be God in the United States of America when it comes to business, nowadays, kids don't even know who that guy is. And back in the day, it was kind of like Warren Buffett or Elon Musk. 10, 20, 30 years from now, people are not even going to know who those people are. So why are you letting something so insignificant? You're not that important. I am not that important. You are not that important. So why don't you actually just try doing the thing that you want to do? Yes, you may fail. We all fail. But I'll tell you what, I have learned more from my failures than I ever have my successes. And I think, unfortunately, we're all trained that failure is a bad thing. Failure is great because you learn so much. I failed as a golf professional. If I wouldn't have failed as a golf professional and learned all the lessons that I have learned, I would not be near as successful in business as I am today.
So this idea of, I can't remember whether it's something that you taught or somebody else, but this idea of when you're nervous, of summoning up that bravery, that courage for 20 seconds, like just 20 seconds to start taking action and, you know, see what opens up for you. Was that you?
You know what? I've said this before. So Joyce Meyer, she's, if anyone doesn't know her, she's probably one of the top three or five pastor preachers in the country. She's huge, Joyce Meyer. And she said something a long time ago that I thought was really good. She said, if you're ever nervous before speaking to someone or giving a presentation or whatever, you're very confused. Because if you go to do something and you do it for yourself, of course you're going to be nervous. Am I going to fall? Am I going to slip up? Am I going to screw up my words? But if you go with the mission to serve another human being, you know, this event that I'm speaking at, 300 businessmen, all very successful. If I walk into that room and get on that stage and I'm thinking, God, am I going to screw up? Am I going to look okay? Am I going to fumble my words? I have a much greater chance. If I go into that room and say, and as a person of faith, I like, all right, Lord, just speak right through me. Whatever I need to say, please allow it to impact one person. If I go up there and I go, this is not about me, I'm going to be 1,000 times less nervous.
So what are some of the stories with the people you've coached? Do you have any that come to mind of transformations you've seen from wallflowers to, you know, blooming into their own courage?
Oh my gosh.
And self-confidence.
Absolutely. I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of people. And I think something too that really that you can walk away with, that anyone can walk away from this podcast with, is what I kind of said earlier on about we all grow up with stories, patterns, and habits from our families. And some of them are amazing. Some of them we want to take with them, you know, like my dad is one of the most competitive people on the planet. I love that I've gotten that trait from him. I love that I am taking that with me. But there's other things about my parents that I'm not too keen on. The fact that my parents, you know, have a horrible money mindset, that, you know, like there's certain things. If I want to become the best version of myself, and I have a pretty good money mindset now, but I have been reprogramming that for literally 15, 16, 17 years, day in and day out, to where I am taking what they believed and I'm reinserting and reprogramming what I want to believe to get me to the level in life that I am currently at and way beyond. My saying that I tell clients is, I don't have $100 problems. I don't have $1,000 problems. My husband actually uses, and he is so fantastic with this. And you can, you know, my husband came from a double wide trailer and now is the president and CEO of a $50 million company. But he always says, I don't have $1 million problems. He has reprogrammed his mindset constantly to say, I don't have $1,000 problems. I don't have $1 million problems. And when you repeat that enough, it allows you to take different actions. I used to be the girl who was afraid to order avocado on a sandwich because that's what I was programmed when I was a kid. I literally, my parents and people, I'm sure there's thousands of people listening to this that literally have looked at a menu and go, oh, I won't add an egg or I won't add avocado because like, I shouldn't do that. Myself, Christina LaCure, has never in my wildest dreams had a $2 problem. I've never had a $2 problem. What I had was a $2 mindset because that's what I was programmed when I was a kid. I was told that God forbid you add the avocado, why would you spend that money? So I had to reprogram that to go, I literally don't even look for a $1,000 problem now because like that's who I am. That's how I want to show up. That's the life that I want laid. And I constantly started from a $2 avocado problem to I don't look if it's $1,000 or less.
Just final thoughts. I just want to open it up to you. What are your thoughts? What do you teach? What do you want us to know that we haven't talked about regarding confidence and becoming more confident?
I just think everyone has the ability in them. And whatever you're doing that's holding yourself back, I mean, I always say you're going to die. And unfortunately, we all are. And life is so short. I think, you know, I have learned numerous lessons in my life. And one of them is the fact that like, life is so short. I'm not really fearful about anything except for the fact that I'm running out of time. I'm not afraid to die because I know where I'm going, but also I am constantly feeling like I don't have enough time. And at 27 years old, I didn't know if I wanted any more time. So if you think about from not wanting any more time to now, my biggest, not quote unquote fear, but my biggest like urgency is the fact that like so many people are just like pissing their time away. And it's very frustrating because we all have such a beautiful life. I always say that every single one of us have a God-given purpose. And for you, that might be a mom. For you, that might be like a CEO. For you, that might be just doing the thing that like petting puppies. Like, I don't really know. It might be just the thing that is on your soul. And so few people actually live out their God-given purpose. And if I could tell everyone one thing, it's like, please go do that thing. Like, you're A, not that important. B, who gives a crap if you screw up along the way? At least you know what to do next time. Like, decide it is your turn. This is my brand. It's what I talk about. It's what I believe. Just do the thing. And the more that you do it, action breeds confidence. Action breeds clarity.
I like that a lot, the action, because once you take it, you get some momentum behind it. You know, you can take in more information. And I do think it's really key to realize that not as many people are watching you as you think are watching you, and that you're here for your experience. You know, it's not about how other people interpret or see you or think you're doing the right thing or not the right thing. You're here to create a life that you want. And you have the power to do that intentionally. That's what the whole Love Your Story podcast is about, is intentionally creating your life. And that's very aligned with all the things you've said today. Thank you for what you've shared.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Where can we find you if we want to help some help with coaching?
Absolutely. You can find me at Christina, Be Christina. So I encourage everyone to be themselves. So be Lori, be Christina. I'm over on Instagram mostly, Be Christina. And then also my podcast, Decide It's Your Turn. So you can find that anywhere. I am on LinkedIn. I am on Facebook, but mostly on Instagram. You can find me anywhere. You can go to my website, but no one knows how to spell or say my last name. So that's the reason why I definitely go by Be Christina as well.
Great idea. And all of her contact information and links will be in the show notes on loveyourstorypodcast.com. So you can go there and get this episode and get whatever you need from it. Eleanor Roosevelt said, quote, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You are able to say to yourself, I lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along," unquote. I share this quote because if you haven't stopped to consider all the tough stuff you've navigated, all the things you've been through, stop and think about it and realize that when the tough stuff comes along, you do make it through. You've done it before. You can do it again. I feel like this recognition builds confidence in our resiliency, which then helps us to live with less fear. At least it does for me. Every time one of those subconscious fears pops up that says, oh, what if this bad thing happens? I look back over my life and all of the hard things I've made it through, the divorces, the tough marriages, the struggle, the heartbreak, the undoing, the rebuilding. And I think I have done some really hard things. I know I am a strong person. If this bad thing I'm imagining happens, I know that I have the strength to get through it. And then I step forward and do the things that I have to do. It just helps us live with less fear. It breeds that confidence. It helps build it in us. Let me share one more quote before I go. Dale Carnegie said, quote, "Inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage. If you want to conquer fear, do not sit home and think about it. Go out and get busy," unquote. Christina and I talked a little bit about that momentum, taking action, that 20 seconds of bravery, taking the action, moving forward when you're feeling nervous or scared. And these movements over and over, these positive movements forward, build confidence in ourselves. I hope as you go about your day that you'll stand a little taller today, shoulders back, that you'll call on that 20 seconds of bravery. You'll push your comfort zone when you come up against those walls. Know that you are unique, that what makes you happy gets to be unique, and you get to claim that fully. You are beautiful. Your belief in yourself will be the vehicle that moves your world. Let me just repeat that. Your belief in yourself will be the vehicle that moves your world. That confidence that you have that allows you to move in and be big and be bold and be you. Crucial, crucial. Hey, thank you for being here. Please share this episode with someone that you love or even someone that you like, because it's good stuff. We all could use more confidence. And we'll see you in 2 weeks for a quick chat.